Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Hi there. Thanks for joining me. On this show, we're talking about love. Not blinded by, crazy in, or even unconditional without boundaries. We're exploring healthy, inspiring, and encouraging love. It's not just about how you love, but how you accept love. Do you demonstrate the type of love you're looking for? What about control in the name of love? Yes, that's a real thing. Love is defined as an intense feeling of deep affection. Sounds like an emotion that you feel. It's yours. What about love as a verb? To like or desire something very much, to take great pleasure in. Reckless love that is driven by expectations without boundaries can be dangerous love. Let's explore love with a gentle touch. Ready to fall in love with love? I've had a lot of time to reflect and consider love from many angles during my lifetime. I think the way we view love evolves as we grow and our needs and desires change and morph. Love at an infant stage is about attachment and a need for survival, warmth, food, and affection. As we navigate life and earn our independence, it can look more like support, stability, and guidance. When we're standing alone and building our own life full of things we love, we test our true capacity for love, nurturing, unselfish, and forgiving. As we reflect on our life, the love and the loss, it can represent cherished, valued, and priceless. Deep sorrow doesn't come without great love. It's both a blessing and a curse. Let's explore the different types of love, hopefully hitting on one you cherish and a few you need to reevaluate. After all, we're sharing, learning, and growing. Love stretches wide and deep to encompass the passionate affair you experience as your first love, the heart-pounding love you feel when you see your child for the first time, and the gentle love you feel for your parents as they grow older. A common thread throughout each of these types of love is care and consideration for someone. Ultimately, that care and consideration are best expressed through the word compassion. Horn shares her thought about compassion in an article she wrote for BetterHelp.com. What is compassionate love? Compassion is a concern for the welfare and well-being of others. Compassion doesn't necessarily require a focused love to exist, but is often thought of as a form of love in and of itself, a love for humankind as a whole. Compassion is argued to be the bedrock for kindness and selflessness, as compassion focuses attention outward rather than inward, and is an example of both empathy, which is putting yourself in someone else's shoes, and sympathy, feeling sad, sorry, or distressed for someone's behalf without necessarily putting yourself in the situation. Compassion is the basis for many religious ideas of love, and is often cited as a requirement for true humanitarianism. After all, how can you develop the desire to help people an entire world away without feeling some amount of compassion towards them and wanting to help them in their plight? Compassion is typically regarded as the roots of nonprofit organizations, social and psychological work, and other entities designed to help others. Compassionate love is love that combines the principles of compassion, empathy, kindness, consideration, and the principles of love, devotion, admiration, and care. Evident in romantic and platonic love both, compassionate love is not only found in one corner of loving interactions, but can be used in all types of relationships and all relationship durations. You can experience compassionate love for your neighbor just as much as you can experience compassionate love for your long-term partner. Compassionate love is not selfish. It aims and works to create an equitable balance of care, attention, and respect rather than trying to gain something through the relationship. Compassionate love can be experienced in numerous ways. This may be romantic, platonic, or a general vague feeling directed at all humanity. There is no single distinct way to experience compassionate love. It could be argued that all love is compassionate love. Some would argue that love is not loving at all unless it's coupled with compassion. On the other hand, affection and attachment without compassion are far more akin to infatuation or obsession than love. While it's not entirely true that love cannot be felt without also feeling compassion, love is best and most effective when put into practice where compassion is present. Feeling love means a lot of things. Love can be felt for objects, such as your favorite sweater or your favorite book that you read again and again. This love is not reciprocated, and it's not put into action. You can't demonstrate love for your favorite sweater, except wearing it several times in a row. Even in wearing it, you are demonstrating your preference for that object far more than you're experiencing a compassionate love for it. The most clearly defined scholarly example of compassionate love is that of volunteering. Volunteering is considered a visible example of compassionate love, and it deliberately sets aside oneself to help others, very often strangers or others with whom you have no direct or lasting ties. This reinforces the notion that compassionate love can exist without a definite relationship between two people. But there is some amount of consistency with compassionate love. People who love compassionately, whether that's for loved ones, their community, or even all humankind, do so continually and maintain a relationship with others via their service. Using volunteering as an example, a volunteer is maintaining a relationship with the object of their compassionate love, whether it's humankind, community, or anything else. By volunteering on a regular basis, just as a romantic partner might carve out time to take a loved one on a date. Love cannot be effectively put into practice and consistently expressed without compassion. Expressing or demonstrating love without compassion is likely to be selfish or poorly communicated. If you express your love for your partner for their ability to calm you down, you're not actually complimenting their character. Instead, you're appreciating them for what they're able to give you. If you demonstrate your love for your partner without compassion, you might find yourself giving a gift that benefits you both, like tickets to your favorite concert or play. Demonstrating love with compassion removes you from the equation entirely and focuses on your partner, friend, or loved one. Love without compassion will likely fade away at the first sign of trouble or the first show of flaws. Compassionate love can recognize that everyone has flaws and will not be quick to write someone off after a fight, a misunderstanding, or an intentional slight. Compassionate love realizes that everyone has the ability to lose control of their emotional state sometimes, that everyone is sensitive to criticism, and that everyone is similarly deserving of kindness and love. Compassionate love should not be mistaken for blind acceptance, as a less mature love might think. Devoted love without compassion might fall into the trap of mistaking love for consent and could give a wide berth of errors in relationships that are unhealthy or altogether abusive. Compassionate love sees human beings as vast, flawed, and even incorrect at times, and not afraid to offer a corrective word or action, even when it means losing the person you love for a while or losing them altogether. Compassionate love speaks the truth in its love rather than just affirming or adoring. Love without compassion is likely to be fledgling, both in terms of duration, like a new relationship, or in terms of depth. Even in a long-term setting, it rarely dips below the surface. Compassion can be felt for strangers, but compassionate love typically mandates some consistency of emotion. Compassionate love does not have to engage in a soul-bearing conversation at each interaction, nor does it demand an extensive show of support. Some studies have shown that compassion begins to ebb as relationships age, while others demonstrate that compassion is actually one of the key mechanisms at play in healthy, happy, lasting connections. Most studies do seem to agree on one thing. Any relationship without compassion is likely doomed to fail. Whether your attachment is romantic, platonic, or some mixture of the two, compassion seems to be the gas that keeps the metaphorical car running when new love or the novelty of a fun friendship has fallen away. One study also found that romantic partners who reported having a compassionate love for their partner were also more likely to report contentment and peace in their lives. Religion seemed to play a role too in the study, as people who claimed some form of religion were more likely to consider themselves partners in a compassionate, loving relationship rather than a standard loving relationship. These couples were also more likely to report experiencing other forms of love, including eros, which is erotic love, and agape, a love for humanity. Some say you can't have one without the other. Some say the two are mutually exclusive, but both are better with the other. Whichever side of the fence you stand on, one thing is clear. Compassion is a beautiful thing and has been the source of many incredible acts of service towards others. Love, too, is a beautiful thing and has often been the source of incredible connection, acts of service, and kindness. We might not have learned compassionate love from our families of origin or see it expressed in our culture regularly, but that doesn't mean we don't have the capacity to learn it. Remember, small acts of kindness and volunteering without expecting a return on your investment are ways to show compassionate love on a consistent basis. We've always heard it's better to give than to receive. But there's such a receiving of love when you give love through compassionate volunteering. So I urge you, if you're wanting that reciprocal feeling, think about volunteering. You know, I've always cared about others. My father would tell me I should be in the healthcare industry because I was so compassionate. But for most of my life, it was just a feeling, not an action. I just cared from afar. Maybe this was because I was busy raising my family and building my career, and this would all be legit. You only have so much capacity at one time. That's why in the beginning I said love changes through the stages of your life as your needs and desires morph and evolve. Your interests change, your priorities in life, how you feel about your little world and what's going on around you. I changed almost 8 years ago. Oh, you're always changing as you grow, some of which is automatic and unnoticeable, but this was a dramatic shift that I orchestrated. It was time for a change, and I was ready for a change. For me, it was a crossroads of sorts that inspired my need for more. I had spent too much emotional, physical, and financial resources trying to control others. At the beginning of this journey, I was convinced that with more effort and energy, things would work out just as I intended. It was clear to me that I had the solution to happiness if everyone would just follow my lead. Of course, in my mind, this was all about love. I love these people, and I wanted the best for them. Or so I thought. So I kept pushing and pulling, demanding and bargaining, but no matter what I did what they wanted. Most of which was not in my magic plan for success. So I was frustrated and hard on myself, thinking I should be doing more. What am I missing here? Why wouldn't these people want to be happy? Didn't they love me enough to change? It's amazing how you can believe that and without a shadow of a doubt insist that you're right. Not really sure what the final straw was 8 years ago. I believe it was a convergence of ideas and experiences that finally released the pickle jar lid. But I got it. No one is going to change to meet my expectations. You see, they are my expectations, not theirs. All I could do is find love without expectations, compassion. I had to let people live their lives, make mistakes, pick themselves up, and carry on all without my interference. Easy task? Of course not. I had deeply rooted compulsive behaviors, and how could I think I could change others when I wasn't even getting it right myself? So I started working on me. Getting healthy, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Coming face to face with all my idiosyncrasies, owning them, learning from them, forgiving myself, and forging on in a new direction. Now, I'm inherently compassionate and do love people and want to see them succeed. I just had my approach all wrong. Nothing that can't be righted with a little work. So now I encourage instead of control and inspire instead of demand. But first, I connect, listen, and understand. This is their life, and sometimes they just want to share and be heard. No need to rush to the rescue, which frees me up a great deal to love without expectation. Elizabeth Earnshaw, licensed marriage and family therapist, discusses this idea of unconditional love, how to give it and know it's healthy, in an article she wrote for Mind Body Green. The term unconditional love does not mean love without limits or bounds. It means I offer you my love freely without condition. This means that when we offer our love, we offer it without expectation of repayment. It's important to offer this type of unconditional love in our relationships. Otherwise, we're offering love with strings attached. This creates power and control imbalances. Unconditional love means loving someone through hardships, mistakes, and frustrations. In fact, it's what every meaningful, lasting relationship is made of. When we enter relationships with other people, we are entering relationships with another human being, a person full of quirks and flaws and challenges just like us. And we also show our own quirks and flaws and challenges right back at you. One of the most beautiful experiences in human life is learning to lean into the tension of those challenges by offering connection, love, and understanding, and by accepting influence, creating compromise, and moving forward in a way in which both people win. We often think a parent's love for their child is unconditional love. In truth, we do at times see this type of strings-attached love presented in parent-child relationships just as readily as it might be in a romantic relationship. A parent provides a certain amount of love to their child and expects some sort of return on their investment. This conditional love might sound like this. I always gave you so much love, and this is the thanks I get? Your father and I wanted you to become a doctor. We did everything for you, and now we're disappointed that you chose to be an artist. I can't believe this is who you're marrying. I would think you'd respect me more after all the love I gave you. Here, the parent is not offering unconditional love. Rather, they're offering love that is contingent on the child fulfilling certain conditions. Remember their expectations? This is a ledger and the child owes a debt. This makes for a very unhappy and disconnected relationship, even a toxic family relationship. But haven't we all said something like that? It's healthy to offer your love without strings attached. Otherwise, we're not truly loving the other person. We're using affection as a tool of control. It's not healthy to offer love without boundaries. Our relationship requires basic expectations to be filled, just like kindness, respect, and safety. When these aren't fulfilled, we might have to set hard boundaries. These boundaries might look like distancing yourself or cutting someone off entirely. If you do cut off, it doesn't mean that you offered your love with conditions. Remember, your love did not make them indebted to you. They do not owe you anything, but you do owe yourself safety, respect, and kindness. You can walk away from people that you love very much in order to take care of your own needs. Love without boundaries can lead to unhappiness, even abuse. If we do not let our partners, parents, children, friends know where we stand in terms of how we expect and need to be treated, then we will not have an equal voice in the relationship. Sometimes we ignore these needs for boundaries in the name of unconditional love. Note the air quotes. But in these moments, we're not offering unconditional love. We're offering codependent love. In codependent relationships, we're so set on maintaining the dynamics in the relationship that we excuse or enable unacceptable behavior. This leads us to a place of unbalanced power and control, rather than a place of truly connected love in which we offer each person the opportunity to be responsible for their own behavior. There's a distinct line between loving someone through the hardships versus accepting unacceptable behavior, and it's important that you know the difference. The latter becomes apparent when the relationship is no longer offering the basic needs of a relationship. If someone has harmed you and they're not willing to repair it, then you need to set a limit for your own well-being. If you find that the relationship has developed into behavior that lacks kindness and respect, then it's likely that a boundary needs to be set. This is especially true if you've tried to communicate clearly and see no change. If you're enabling the person in a way that negatively affects your well-being, that isn't unconditional love. It's unhealthy, codependent love. Unconditional love still involves healthy boundaries. We can offer unconditional love to others, even when they're being difficult, and we don't have to offer love without bounds. You can offer love that has no strings attached while still having boundaries. So unconditional love with healthy boundaries might look like this. I love you and support you no matter what. However, we no longer have the finances to help you with your bills. I love you and have to take space from you when you speak to me that way. Unconditional love is not a binding contract. Unconditional love gets muddied when we believe that we have to continually offer that love even when basic relational expectations are not being fulfilled. Unconditional love means right now I offer you this love and you're not indebted to me. It doesn't mean I offer you this love exactly in this way forever, even if you start to harm me. Here's an example. Let's take a healthy relationship in which a couple is offering each other the basic and necessary expectations, kindness, respect, and safety. And then that changes. One person goes through something and begins to treat the partner with disrespect and cruelty. When that changes, you can choose to put boundaries in place to distance yourself. that doesn't mean your love hasn't been unconditional. In this case, you offered your love freely as long as you could, and then in the moment you needed to care for yourself, you set healthy boundaries. Unconditional love means offering love without conditions in that moment. It doesn't necessarily mean forever. It means the love I'm giving you right now is yours to keep. I'm doing it of my own free will. You owe me nothing in return. When we love this way, we are offering true love. This type of love that allows others to be who they are. It also is the type of love that allows us to continually reassess the relationship and decide over time if it's still working for us and if we're able to give our love so freely. So how do you love someone unconditionally? The word unconditional can sometimes create confusion or lead us to place unrealistic expectations on ourselves and the way we love. If it's easier, consider instead the idea of wholehearted love. Wholehearted loving means leaning into the vulnerability of offering our love because we want to offer it. Offering our love in this way means that we give it because it feels good to give it and not because we expect a particular outcome. Wholehearted love also acknowledges and prioritizes the wholeness of both of the people. To give wholehearted love, you must love your partner and wholly love yourself. You will know it's wholehearted love when both people are willing to enter with their whole heart. When each person has a voice, when challenges are reflected upon, when growth happens, when there is no scoreboard because you're on the same team and not on opposing teams. You will know it's not wholehearted love if there are strings attached, debts owed, and boundaries violated. You will especially know when you find that the basic expectations of love, remember, kindness and safety, are not being respected. If you're wondering what that kind of love looks like in practice, here are ways to love wholeheartedly. Pay attention to your offerings of love. Are you expecting a certain reaction? Are you offering it to receive something now or later? Has the person become indebted to you? Push yourself to offer love just because. Learn to accept and value influence. Wholehearted loving means that we believe our partner, child, friend, or parent has something of value to think, feel, and share. Work toward being influenced by them. Be transparent. Offer transparency in your interactions. Let people know what you expect. Allow people the opportunity to be successful for you. Learn to listen. Being a good listener is a lot more than hearing. It means that you truly integrate what the person is saying and show curiosity towards learning more. Notice the dynamics of control and nip them in the bud. Pay attention to the dynamics of controlling your relationship. When you get into tension, is there an underlying motive? Are your conflicts the result of unstated needs? And you thought love was easy? Not always, but so worth it. So many times it comes down to first loving yourself. We hear this mantra and see the quotes or memes so often it seems a bit cliche. Like live, laugh, and love. But let's be real. How can you fully and wholeheartedly love someone else if you can't love yourself? What does loving yourself even mean? Well, it starts with showing yourself the same kindness, patience, respect, and forgiving spirit that you show others. Are you going to make mistakes? Yes. Are you going to like everything about yourself? No. Can you love yourself but still desire to change aspects of your life? Of course. Self-acceptance doesn't mean settling for who you are and where you are without the desire for change. It's being mindful about those things. Accepting where you are and who you are right now is okay, and having patience with yourself as you grow and change. Magda Kay gives us tips on what does self-love really mean and how to start loving yourself in an article on her own blog, Brave Belle. Number one, become aware of your inner voice. The first thing you need to do is beware of how you treat yourself. We all talk to ourselves in our minds, but we are not always fully conscious of that voice. So, first step, become conscious of your inner voice. Pay attention to what it's saying. Notice what you tend to tell yourself most often. What do you say when you do something amazing? And what do you say when you fail? Here are a few situations in which you should be aware of your inner voice. When you wake up and look in the mirror. When you get scolded by your boss. When someone is mean to you. When you're mean to someone. When you act on your anger. When you see a person in need but you keep walking without helping them. When you put on weight. When you make a mistake at work. When you eat something unhealthy. When you skip your workout session. When you lie to someone. When you make someone cry. When you feel lazy. When you need rest. Are you still loving and caring towards yourself in all those moments? If not, it might be time for step two, which is to take control of your inner voice. The things you hear in your head now have been there your whole life. You might have not paid attention to it before, in which case you might be shocked to hear some of the things you say to yourself. But the truth is that you've been feeding yourself these messages for years. And the more we hear something, the more we believe it. This means all those negative things you say to yourself have become your strong-held belief. But you can't change them, step by step. Now that you're aware of your inner voice, next time you catch yourself saying something nasty to yourself, pause and say, cancel, cancel. A little trick, but it actually sends a message to your subconscious mind to ignore what you just thought. After canceling, say a new thing to yourself, this time a supportive, loving, and caring message, and just keep doing it. At first, it might seem like a lie. You won't believe that new nice message, but that's okay. Keep doing it, and over time, you'll become neutral to the message, and finally, you'll believe it. Treat yourself like a child. Now, this might sound funny, but after being so harsh on ourselves, we don't know what that new voice should be like. So to help you change the tone of your inner voice, imagine yourself as a child. Some people call it your inner child. Tuning into that inner child allows you to look at yourself without judgment. You see yourself as this little vulnerable creature that simply wants to be loved. The moment you envision yourself as a child, you'll notice that the harsh judgments melt away. After all, we all have inner children within us. There are needs that were never met when we were young, and we carry these needs into our adult lives. We might suppress them, push them into the subconscious, and not even realize they're there. Treating yourself like a child allows you to cater to those needs. How about love yourself emotionally and physically? What do you do when you love someone? Think of your parents, siblings, a lover, a best friend. Do you get them gifts? Do you take them out on a date? Do you pay for them? Do you spend quality time together? Love is a feeling and love is a verb. Love is just as much about feeling as it is about doing. So now it's time to do something loving for yourself. Think of all the things you enjoy that bring you pleasure and simply do them with yourself. If you've never tried it before, the idea of doing something alone might scare you a bit. dinner alone, you might feel like a loser sitting at a table all by yourself. But you know what? If you do, it's a clear sign you don't love yourself yet. Because once you do, you'll start enjoying spending time with yourself. And this is the whole point of the exercise. It's to befriend yourself and feel completely happy and whole even when there's no one else next to you. We need to stop depriving ourselves of things that we like and that make us happy. From now on, give yourself permission to do things you enjoy. You don't always need to do things that make sense or that build your career. Spending time doing things just because you like them should be just as important. So here are a few ideas on how to start doing self-love. Take yourself out for a nice dinner. Paint, or do any other type of art that you enjoy that allows you to express your creativity. Write. You can write poems, a book, or just keep a daily journal. Take photographs. Visit a museum. Cook something healthy. Drink a green smoothie. Read your favorite book. And yes, it can be a love story. Watch a romantic comedy. Buy yourself a new outfit. Get a massage. Go for a yoga class. Dance. Yes, by yourself, go crazy in your house. Listen to your favorite music. Play with animals. Stay in nature. Go for a walk or for a sled. Do nothing. Just sit down or lie down and do absolutely nothing. The more you practice acts of self-love, the stronger message you send to yourself. You deserve it. It's essential and a fun way to practice self-love. I hope you've been able to uncover some elements of love you hadn't considered. Isn't that what it's all about? We're on a lifelong journey of discovery. Never will you know it all. Never will you experience all that life has to offer. Never will you reach your depth of love. How exciting to know there is so much more in store for us. If you want to share Encouragementology with a friend who needs to know they are not alone in this journey of self-discovery, you can visit encouragementology.com or anywhere you stream your content to receive this episode and all others. Follow us on Facebook for additional encouragement throughout the week. So I challenge you, be gentle with love for yourself and with others. Encourage and inspire instead of controlling and bargaining. You can have a deep capacity for love by first expanding the love for yourself through self-awareness and acceptance. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges.
I stumbled through until the path was clear. That's when I found you.